I just love the scriptures. They're unbelievably powerful. And we are introduced to the four living creatures in verse 6. In this presentation, see, this unveiling of God, the unveiling of Christ in the book of Revelation, there is nothing haphazard about it. God is, his word is perfect, and there's a guy named Ivan Panin who, I don't believe I mentioned him before, but he was kind of like Russia's Einstein back when Russia was evolving from their revolution. And so the communist leaders went to him and said, "We want you to disprove the Bible." So he thought that would be a pretty easy task. And he was their top mathematician. And he also was fluent. A lot of mathematicians and scholars know Greek just from going through school. It's an analytical language. So he knew Greek, and he was a mathematician, so he thought it'd be pretty simple to disprove the scriptures, and he started off in Matthew. He did the first verse in Matthew, and he thought, with the numerical sequence, he thought it would take someone 10 minutes to write a sentence with this numerical structure. Like, he was struck with the sequence. And so he didn't get past the first paragraph. And he realized it's inspired. And he repented and came to the Lord. And I have his Greek New Testament somewhere in my shelves, if anybody wants to borrow it. He's got an English translation, but he defected and came over to the States, and back in the 60s, they had, you know, New York Times had this big front headline, "God is dead." Mm-hmm. And he responded to that with his proof of the sequential perfection of the New Testament. And he challenged the professors of Harvard, Yale, and Princeton to disprove his findings. Nobody took him up on it. So I said all that to simply just say the unfolding of the book of Revelation is with full purpose, and it's fully purposed to, first of all, bless you, and to bring you into your participation of his return. So John says, "Blessed is he who reads this book and keeps the sayings of this book." So the Greek word for keep there has in it a doing. So you go, "Wow, how do I do?" Well, you know what? All through here, you'll find places where you and I are invited to participate in his return. You're part of his return. That's, boy, that's high stuff. So anyway, let's start off. We're in chapter 4, and now we've been through the throne and the 24 elders and the crystal sea. And now we're starting to see around about the throne, not only were the elders of God sitting there, which I believe that potential is there for you guys. And that's, boy, I love that. Anyway, now he sees these four living creatures, and we spoke a little bit about the eyes. And now we're going to verse 7, and pay attention to the not only the order, but also we're going to see some differences between what John sees here and what Ezekiel sees in his revelation. The first living creature was like a lion. The second living creature was like a calf, and the third living creature had the face like a man. I like that one. And the fourth living creature was like a flying eagle. We're going to stop there. Let's go to Ezekiel chapter 1. This revelation, I mean, for myself, came probably 10, 12 years ago, and it so heavily impacted my life that it's become a part of my, it's become a part of my interaction with, especially when I'm on the road traveling. And so to keep this fairly succinct here, Ezekiel, they're in captivity. God's people are always going in and out of captivity because they keep missing God. But the thing I love about this is it says in verse 3, the word of the Lord came expressly to Ezekiel. Wow. It's something I really want to press to each one of you here. Is that as you grow in God, there'll come a day when His word begins to come expressly to you. It's not a word, it is your word. So we'll read in Romans, Paul said, first of all, he said he was separated unto the gospel of God, and in Romans 1:1. Later on in Romans, Paul says, according to my gospel. So Paul had an expression of the new covenant, as did Peter, as did Jude, as did Cephas and Peter the same. But recognize that each one of these apostolic expressions had their own gospel, not originating from self, but they had a particular bent. And A.W. Tozer said, if you only read the promises of Paul, he says you'll never go anywhere with God. Because you need Jude and Peter and James to bring accountability to your walk. So they're not in opposition. They're a balancing. So Paul says Abraham was justified by faith. Before he did anything, he was justified by faith. James said Abraham was justified by what he did. Contradiction? No. The justification that Abraham knew as a promise revealed itself in what Abraham did because he was justified. They're not, you know, like Luther had huge issues with James. He even suggested the book of James isn't supposed to be in the scriptures. That's how far. But God in Luther's day was bringing back justification by faith, because the church had strayed so far. But later on, there was other expressions added, bringing us back to the full gospel. So in each of these faces that we're going to see with Ezekiel and with John, each of these faces is the corresponding expression of the fourfold gospel of God in, concerning Christ. So, but what is Ezekiel sharing with us? The express word that came to him. And so I have a particular bent in my expression, but God's going to create a fuller, deeper bent in his word and his expression through you. And so always remember that God has something unique and powerful and personal. And it's in the word being sown into your heart that it begins to bring forth his expression in you. It's going to take all of us. This Christ is, as men and women of God throughout the ages, as they begin to see him, they realize they're a thimble in the ocean of God. Isn't that, I mean, I just, You know, I never could understand how people could get proud over what they see. Like, you know, one scripture that always easily keeps me on course is, as he is, so are we in this world. Well, I don't know about the rest of people. That's enough to keep me on my face. Every day I come back from work going, yeah, well, we're not quite there yet, Brian, you know. So anyway, he sees a whirlwind coming out in verse 4. I love, King James does, New King James does a pretty good job on this. Got to grasp what Ezekiel's seeing here. Then I looked and behold, a whirlwind was coming out of the north, a great cloud with raging fire engulfing itself. What does it say in the scriptures? Our God is a consuming fire. Anybody that doesn't have the fire of God in their heart doesn't have God. You can't have God living in you without some fire burning. It is an impossibility. And brightness was all around it and radiating out of its midst like the color of amber. We're not going to get into all the colors today. Out of the midst of the fire. I mean, just picture what Ezekiel's saying. I mean, it's incomprehensible. And also from within it, what does it say? These four living creatures are round about the throne. The throne is engulfed in fire. And brightness is radiating from the revelation John had. Came out the likeness of four living creatures, and this was their appearance. Now, you're going to notice a difference from what I read in Book of Revelation. And this was their appearance. They had the likeness of a man. Each one had four faces, and each one had four wings. Do we notice a difference between what we read? What did you notice?
They have one. Each one has one.
Exactly. Exactly. Very good. And you go, what is this all about? Well, hopefully we'll cover that today. But one thing you have to realize in the heavens, in the spirit, things are always changing and evolving and moving. God is the Hebrew word used for the face of God, Peniel, is made up of two Hebrew words, but the word face in the Hebrew is plural, because Hebrew developed out of a relationship with God. It's a language that has in its very composition tenses that you can't have without knowing God. But so Bethlehem, the bread, you know, most translations say house of bread. Beth, Beth, Lehem. Lehem is bread, but it also means face. It's the bread of the face of the faces, if you were to translate that in the fullness. So why does the Hebrew use plural words for the face of God? Because he can be angry. He can be joyful. He can be concerned. So the face of God is, he's a living, we're made in his image. So, you know, you come home, I come home, look at my wife and see how we're doing. You know, because her face conveys. And the more you know your wife, the more you know, like we can be sitting at a table having a conversation and someone says something, Lynn and I look at each other, we know exactly what we're thinking because I know that face. And God's ever seeking to unveil himself to you. So anyway, these in Ezekiel's revelation, they all had the appearance of a man. This four-faced creature, and it says it again later on in this chapter, they had the four faces. Who are they talking about? Who are they expressing? Jesus said, Search the scriptures, for in them you think you have life, but they are they which speak of me. So these four faces, first and foremost, they're there to reveal Christ. Everything Christ, it says in John, nothing was created without who? The Word. Nothing came into being apart from Christ. He is the vehicle through which the Father creates all things. And so everything that's created of him bears his image. So what is true in Christ, God's purpose is to make it true in you. And Paul says in one place, so you see then, brethren, your calling. Your calling isn't to sit in a pew somewhere. Your calling is to bring the very face and presence of Christ into the life that you live and the places you go. We got to realize the grandeur of what God's called you to. And first thing you want to do if you're like me is, oh, I'll never be able to do that. Yeah, well, God's got some resources here for us. So one scripture I hold to in my faith that keeps me picking myself up from every failure is the angel comes to Mary and the angel says, you're going to bring forth Son of the Most High God. And she looks at this angel and she says, how can this be? Sometimes when you grasp the call that God's got on your life, you're going to look at God and you go, how can this be? We all know what we're made out of. We know our shortcomings. We know our stubbornness. We can go on with all the lists. But Mary looked at the angel and she says, how can this be? And the angel's got a word for her. And he's got a word for you. The Spirit of the Most High will overshadow you. Wow. Isn't that good? And you know what she responds to? Be it unto me, according to your word. So, never despair of the disparity between where you are and what you've been called to. Because that's God's business. Your business is to yield your life to him. His business is to finish his work in you. Anyway, so these four living creatures in Ezekiel, each one has four faces. And we'll drop down to verse 10. As for the likeness of their faces, each had the face of a man. Each had the face of a lion. Each of the four had the face of an ox. And each fourth had the face of an eagle. And you go, what in the world am I supposed to do with that? Well, you know what? That's what God is after in your life and mine. And so God always starts off with the man. He starts off with you. He starts off with you in your humanity. He starts off and he comes to you. And he comes into you. And he puts within the very heart of your hearts the living word. You know, people don't realize that Jesus is more than just a savior. His purpose is to make you like himself. So he starts off with you, and so you got the face of a man, and on the other side you got the face of an eagle. The eagle speaks of a heavenly man. The eagle speaks of heavenly vision and heavenly understanding. The eagle speaks of heavenly things. And John, you read the Gospel of John? He doesn't sit there and go through, yeah, he was born in Mary, yada, yada. He just introduces Christ as the heavenly one. Yeah. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. bang, you're in the heavens. John is the gospel of the eagle, the face of an eagle. He's representing and presenting Christ as the true heavenly man. Luke comes along and presents Jesus as the son of Adam. He traces the lineage of Christ back to Adam, because who is Luke writing to? Luke is writing to a non-Gentile or a non-Jew. And he's presenting Christ as the heavenly man, not of the tribe of Israel, but the second, what does Paul speak of? The first Adam and the second Adam. Because who is Paul ministering to? The Gentiles. So he's presenting, part of Paul's gospel is presenting the man, the son of man. And in fact, in when Paul is ministering the book of Acts, this would be blasphemy as a Jew. He presents and he's speaking to the men on Mars Hill, and he says, we're all brothers. The Jews didn't look at things that way. You're a Gentile. We can't even eat with you. But Paul is, can you imagine the radical change that had to take place in Paul to be able to say that? He says, we're all of one blood. Whoo! What a radical change in the Pharisee of Pharisees. It's powerful. So Luke takes the genealogy of Mary and traces it back all the way. Matthew presents a totally different genealogy, but that's the genealogy of Joseph, and he traces it back and presents Jesus as the lion of the tribe of Judah. So the Gospel of Matthew is about the lion. And then we have Mark, who presents Jesus as the face of an ox, the face of a servant. In Mark's gospel, there's over twice as many miracles and works of Jesus in relieving the sick, in just the miracles of Jesus, and presents him as Jesus as the servant, bringing the life of God into the realm of the misery of man. And you go, well, how does that work with me? Well, God's at work to bring you into that fourfold expression. To be able to see heavenly things and to walk as a man, these two faces are in juxtaposition. I got friends of mine in history with people who've got tremendous spiritual knowledge, but they have, their natural lives are a mess. Their house is out of order, and you're going, this is not producing this. Anything that's spiritual has to find expression in the earth. You can't see heavenly things in God and have your life out of order as a man. God is always, Jesus on the cross being crucified. The last thing I'd be thinking of is my mother. You got nails and people are jeering at you, and Brian would probably be feeling sorry for himself about then. But Jesus looks at John and says, take care of Mary. See, the natural man, Christ is ever practical. He is ever walking right. If he was living today, his bills would be paid. His life would be together. And because of my background, the hardest thing I struggle with, and I still struggle with, is taking that which I see in the spirit and bringing that into the actual life that I live. These two faces are set against each other because God's looking for balance. He's looking for, if it's spiritual, it's real. People who are satisfied with the righteousness by faith, God's actually interested in a righteousness which is actual and real in this life. So that heavenly seeing is to produce an actual walking. And wow, I mean, I know the it's a battle to bring those things into alignment. It's a wonderful battle. But if, you know, so John says, you know, the eagle sees and goes, well, I'm justified by faith. Well, John says, he that doesn't do righteousness isn't righteous. He brings that heavenly truth into reality. And so, wow, those are powerful. Those are things that begin to pull and begin to add dimension. See, the Christian walk is about dimension. It's about seeing in the Spirit, but walking in the Spirit as a man. Now, the other two faces, there's another dichotomy. The ox and the lion. Servanthood and boldness. You know, wow, there's another stretch. So people are always saying, well, you gotta be gentle and kind. You don't judge things. And the lion goes, I got to call them as I see them. I got to speak to the wrong in the world. This lion of the tribe of Judah is roaring against the sin and iniquity of the world. So here's, but you look at Jesus, he was all of those things. Here he is washing the disciples' feet, and at the same time, utterly bold. He comes to Peter to wash Peter's feet, and Peter says, I can't have this. You're my Lord. I can't have you washing my feet. And Jesus looks at Peter. You talk about boldness. I don't know how. I just go, if I was Peter, I'd just be a, they'd need a spatula to clean me off the floor. Jesus says, if I don't wash you, you have no part of me. Mm-hmm. See, there's no, the servanthood doesn't negate, doesn't compromise with the things of God. Yeah. So God has to marry the ox and the lion in your life. To be bold, to be uncompromising, and yet be a servant. Yeah, isn't it just majestic how God is seeking to bring the reality of Christ, who he is, into your life? And every one of us, probably we all will have trouble with all four faces, but there will be one face that really is easy to develop in you. But there's two or three others that, you know, you might have this innate ability to speak boldly into people's lives, but the whole servanthood is lacking. And some people I know, it's real easy to serve someone because you're not going to get a whole lot of people mad at you if you're always serving them. But if you neglect the lion, and you're undeveloped. And so this fourfold, this fourfold, it's such an overwhelming, I mean, it changed my life when I saw this. I just realized my deficiencies, and I realized that regardless of what I see in the Spirit, God goes, I got to make that real in your life. Regardless, like I have, become easy for me to have the face of a lion in times. But I notice I fold sometimes at the worst moment. You know, you fold like Peter did, you know. Peter folded like a cheap tent in a rainstorm. You know, though he gave the huge, powerful, though the rest of these guys deny the, I'm ready to, you know, and then Peter didn't do so well the next day. But you see how Christ came in, even in Peter's failure, and met him in grace. So never let your utter failure at times in God, when you're confronted with situations, never let that become a stumbling stone. Recognize these faces don't come overnight. But that's God's purpose in you. And then God, as you grow in the understanding of that internally, you begin to, like, I'm on the road and I travel and I talk to people. And, you know, like one guy I ran into a while back, just in talking to him, I realized that his life was built on the sovereignty of God, which absolves people. If you only have the picture of the sovereignty of God, it can be taken to such an extent that it absolves you of your own responsibility. So his weakness, his walk was being hindered because he didn't see his own personal responsibility to God. And so there's a discernment that comes as these truths begin to develop in you. And discernment isn't being critical. Discernment goes, oh, like when I'm talking with this guy, I go, he needs to see the wonder and the majesty of our responsibility to God. It isn't you're being critical, but you realize that there's a face there that needs to be added to the, you know, the eagle has to have the man, the walking out of that, you know, understanding the sovereignty of God without understanding I got to walk in it, is a face that's missing, and there's a lack of development. So anyway, in all of this, I'm through the truth and the power of this in my own life, it caused me to see myself more objectively, not to bring condemnation into my life, but to bring balance into my walk. And so it's a powerful thing. And now the big mystery as to why in the book of Revelation John sees each of these four living creatures with one face. Ah, this is where it gets really good. We need the four faces. But it took me years to realize the power of all this. The power of the first one with the four faces caused me to recognize my need for Christ to be balanced in every area of my life. So I'm always reading, I'm always writing, I'm always, that's just, well, that's where God meets me. But God is always bringing me to the face of the ox. How's that shining forth in your life, Brian? You know, sitting here, one little word the Lord gave me, you know, basically, Brian, are you an armchair Christian? Easy to become. But Jesus was what? Always out in the streets. He was always meeting with people. He was never turning his face away from needs. So John says, if you see your brother in need, fill it. Don't say be warm and filled. See, God is, he's got to make this thing real in us. So faith without works is dead. Faith without reaching out into the lives of others around you, faith without the face of an ox isn't faith. So that's what the ox is a tough one too. And so I was thinking that the other day that, I mean, I'm always got these scriptures going through my heart because they're of the Spirit of God and they're always bringing conviction to me. Wonderfully, thankfully. So at the end of a man's journey, Jesus says, well done. That means the man did something. Jesus didn't say, oh, that was well believed. Nice. I like that. See, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Well, how is servanthood revealed? It goes out into the streets. It goes out into the life of your brother and sister. And that ox is ever serving. And so Jesus, when he washed his disciples' feet, what did he say? As I have done this to you, so do you to one another. Woo! It's reality check. See, I like it because I like it when the word God cuts me. I like it because we're on a journey to become like he is in our nature. And anyway, getting back to the book of Revelation, where each one of these creatures now has a singular face. No more the four face, but the four faces has become the face of an ox and one, face of a man and another, face of an eagle. And you see these four faces because as you go on in God, I'm discovering this, and it's wonderful. The more you go on in God, he enlarges you. If you can, I trust the Spirit of God, write this on your heart. He enlarges you by reduction. So as you grow with God, God develops the four faces in you. And he's never done doing that. But as you go on with God, you will start realizing that there's one face that characterizes your life more than all the rest. You're still living a balanced life. But I remember years ago when we met in Fernie, this sweet lady, she met with us for years. And she came one Sunday and she said, I'm actually going to start meeting with the Salvation Army because in her, that reaching out was who she was becoming, reaching out, helping the poor and the broken. And man, we just blessed her and we said, you go for it. Because that's what she was becoming. She had that ox heart. That doesn't sound good, but it is good. She had the servanthood of Christ was becoming a real passion in her. And so what happens as you grow in God, you know, some of you, and I know that some of you are going to have prophetic ministries. And that tends to bring the lion out more than the ox. You know, poor prophets are out there. And another person has the face of an eagle and they're always saying deep and mysterious things that not everybody gets. And then another one is the man. And so you got these four faces, but what happens as you begin to develop that singular face? You start realizing the need of the others. You start realizing that you might have the face of an eagle, you might have the face of the lion, but you need your brother. You need that complementary thing. And I remember we went through a very difficult, heart-rending experience many years ago with a young girl that was demon-possessed. Well, in that time of development, none of us could deal with it. But God sent someone in. And our inability, God goes, I got an answer. It's another one of my people. So Paul says, do all have the gift of healing? Do all have the word of knowledge? Do all speak in tongues? Or do all prophesy? And the answer is no. Wonderfully. Why? Because God's making a body. He's making a body. The hand cannot. Anybody who says that doesn't have the Spirit of God in them as they should. The hand cannot say to the foot, I have no need of you. But if you're undeveloped, you can say that because you don't even know your need of your brother. But as you go on with God, as you begin to feel his heart beating in yours, you realize that that brother that's got a totally different expression from you is necessary for the declaration of all that Christ is. So Barabbas is trying to force on Paul John Mark. John Mark, they were on one excursion of Paul's great evangelistic or missionary, however the common church calls it. He's out there and Mark has fallen apart with all the opposition and everything that's going on. And Paul says, get this guy home. And so Paul's getting ready to go out again. And Barnabas, who's the uncle of John Mark, is trying to force John Mark on Paul. Paul goes, he ain't ready yet. And they had a big fight because Barnabas had a personal agenda and Paul wasn't having none of it. And so, but years later, Paul writes and says, and send John Mark to me for he's profitable. Isn't that good? Isn't that good? And so it's all about development. And as you develop, as God pours into you his grace, you start to take on an expression. First of all, he has to bring balance in your life. I mean, if 20 years from now, you're naturally, the walk of the man is untogether, your kids are hanging from the chandeliers, and you know, they're 20-some years old and they're not walking with God, God goes, we got a problem here. Because that heavenly wisdom has to be brought into the place of the reality of your own home. So Paul says, if a man's faith doesn't work in his home, it ain't going to work in my house. See how God ties the heavenly and the natural together? So he says, an elder, let his house be in order. So here's this elder bringing down and going, if he's an elder, his house is in order. Woo. Those are heavy things. If he's got the face of a lion, and yet he's so proud and arrogant that he can't serve his brother, God says he ain't ready. But as time goes on, when the four faces are developed, all of a sudden, you start going, this is my call. I got the prophetic call on my life. I got the shepherd's heart who's always trying, you know. Shepherd and prophet, sir, they ain't the same heart. And the prophetic and the apostolic are not the same heart. They're different, and there's tension between them at times. Necessary. There's tension between the lion and the man, or the eagle and the man. There's tension there. God goes, I like tension. You look at a guitar, if you don't have tension on it, you're not going to get the right note. God brings tension into your life, and he keeps turning, especially the E string. I mean, you know, you're there and you keep expecting the thing to break. And there's some of you, God's tuning, and you're like, I'm going to fall apart here. You're going to stretch me and I'm going to pop. And he goes, no, I know what note I'm going to hit in you. I got it all figured out. And so let that tension. See, God's never interested in giving you pat answers. I want to know where the face of the lion and eagle. God goes, no. I blend them. They four had the face of a man. You know, it's like spirit, soul, and body. I was doing a writing on the Trinity of God, and we're made in his image. Spirit, you know, God is God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. These three are one. Well, you're made in his image, spirit, soul, and body. Well, you try and figure out in your everyday life where spirit, soul, you know, you got this, is it me, is it God, is it, you know? And God's not interested in you having all these carnal definitions. He's interested in the threefold expression of you, spirit, soul, and body, being the expression of Christ. Those are mysteries. God's not interested in you understanding the mystery. He's interested in you walking in the mystery. I love it. But that, those four faces, and that's my biggest hope, is in the development of Christ in you, you start recognizing your need for one another. That is, so Paul prays in Ephesians. I mean, this was another one of those verses that just changed my life. Literally changed my life. Paul prayed in Ephesians that we with all saints might know. Well, as soon as you get over the how importantly huge you are in the kingdom of God, he brings you into realizing that you're one of the strands of the fabric of all that Christ is. You're necessary, but so is the black thread next to you, or the yellow thread, because God is weaving something. It's a living fabric, and you're part of his tapestry in the earth. And I find it amazing. The love, the mercy, and the wisdom that God is pouring into each one of you. And, you get in your times where you're condemning yourself, like I do once in a while. Always go to Psalm 139. Paul said, David says, the sum of your thoughts toward me is more than I can handle. That's a paraphrase. His thoughts and his purposes for you are far beyond your comprehension. And all these four faces and all this wonderful spiritual stuff, God is forming in you in your everyday life. I just love it.